And now, more civil societies, hearing ideas for real change.
Hi, I'm Eva Cox, and I want to get back onto an issue that I keep bringing up because it keeps rearing its head and attacking us from dark places. And that's the issue of trust and trustworthiness. We've talked a lot about not trusting politicians. We've talked a lot about not trusting government. We've talked about voters being disillusioned because they've been reduced back to being customers rather than citizens. All of those things combine into a sense that we don't trust the formal institutions that are part of our governance. But there's another set of institutions that really we need to think about, because distrusting them is becoming increasingly necessary as more and more stuff comes out about the fact that they are not worthy of our trust. And yet they are really part of the sort of pillars. In fact, the four big banks, which I'm talking about, are called the four pillars because they're seen as holding our society together. And I think we need to actually seriously have a look at what's happening. We've got the Royal Commission on Banks going on at the moment. So you open your papers and you find banner headlines about what's been said by the Commonwealth Bank, the NAB, whatever else it happens to be, where they're talking about their activities in a way which would have seemed inconceivable 20, 40, 50 years ago. Because banks were sort of part of the infrastructure of our society. I mean, your bank manager was a person that was respected in the community. Your bank was often a sandstone building parked next to the post office, which was also a sandstone building. It was something that was there that indicated solidity and good business and care about the community and all of those other sorts of things that are important as part of the structure of what we believe in. But banks these days appear to be extraordinarily tacky. They've lost that ability to be admired, organised financing, which actually can be trusted to do the right thing by its customers. I've talked a bit about the whole issue about how we've become customers of government as well as customers of business. But in a sense, the banks show really clearly where the divide comes. Because customers, you used to get rewards for being a loyal bank customer. I'm one. I saw some data recently which suggested about 70% of us really don't change banks. And yet we're told we should be checking out banks and checking out interest rates and shifting our money around in a way because we really can't trust the banks to give us the best deal possible, and they give us no rewards for loyalty apart from screwing us because we don't actually get offers because we're loyal. But then you start looking at the other things that banks have been doing over the last few years, or quite a few years now, which is they've just turned into greedy, venal, nasty bastards. They don't take care of their customers. They actually rip them off. This is what's coming through. You've got all of these people who come via particular loan organisers to the banks, and they get given bank loans that they can't afford to repay because the bank doesn't bother checking it out because they don't care. They'll get the money anyhow because they can sell the house and get rid of things. So there's a situation. There was one case of a man in his 60s who had a brain injury. He wanted $50,000 to put into some sort of scam. And it was given to him despite the fact he had no capacity to repay it because somebody at the bank thought it was all right, he could sell his house to do so. That's totally irresponsible. There's other situations that they've talked about where they've sold, I think it was $68,000 to $100,000, there's two estimates, insurance things which went with a credit card, where they told people that if they had problems paying it off, that the income insurance would help them. But it doesn't help them if you haven't got a job. So they sold cards that were totally useless to this large number of people, mainly low-income people, and ripped them off. Why did they rip them off? Because they got additional income, a bonus, if they sold people these particular insurance items. And that whole issue that when you go and see somebody in the bank, they're not there to advise you, they're there to sell you something so that they can earn more income. So the whole distrust thing is growing rapidly with our relationship with banks. We can't trust them anymore to give us a good deal. We can't trust them not to rip us off. We can't trust them to deal decently with us and pay attention to what we're doing. Apparently a whole lot of people ended up getting home loans that they shouldn't have got because they didn't bother checking whether or not they could repay them. They didn't look at their income. They used some algorithm that may or may not have been useful. So lots of people ended up with home loans that they couldn't really afford. So they went bankrupt. And the banks now are sort of having them turning up at the Royal Commission and telling the stories. So a Royal Commission is fine, and ASIC, which is the group that takes care of the banks, you know, is going to be pushed into being much more active than they were, because even though they have the power to pull the banks into line, they don't really like using it because they're part of the finance industry also. And then there's the issue about whether or not we trust the finance industry. They're very big at the moment trying to make us agree that we should give more tax cuts to them because they're such good citizens. They're not. They're lousy citizens. They don't take care of the country at all. They don't give a stuff about their clients. And yet somehow or other they still have some residual trust in the days when they used to be part of our main streets and part of what was really important to the local community. And part of the reason that I think a lot of people are really feeling quite angry and bereft is if you can't trust your bank, who do you go to for advice? You go down to the counter and ask them what you should do with your money, and they said, oh, you should invest it in this, not because that's a good idea for you, but because they'll get a bonus on it. It just is tacky. It's incredibly tacky. We need to seriously think why we think business has the right to be the leader, why markets work, and how far they've managed to corrupt our entire financial system, which is making us all feel very anxious about what we do with our money if we've got any, and why we haven't got any, because the way the banks very often act against us rather than for us. And just one final thing. Once upon a time, not so long ago, we owned the Commonwealth Bank. Not because we had shares in it, because the government owned it. And that meant it could set standards. And at one stage, I think we owned the Bank of New South Wales, which became Westpac as well. I think we really need to think about the fact whether or not these should be private enterprise, or whether at least one of them should be government, so that we actually know what they're doing.
More Civil Societies, every week with Julie Macken and Eva Cox.